Welcome home.
It's good to be home.
Boy, you know what? I think you really meant that. I mean, after how many weeks of Snowmageddon, we are finally back together. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for keeping up with everything. So I'm going to give you a couple announcements, sorry. If you've been around a while, you know that we're trying to lessen our announcement time. I want to, first of all, Lori and I want to thank you for your prayers. We did get down to Keswick Pastors Conference. We got there a little later than we wanted to, but we still got there. It was absolutely fabulous, one of the best conferences that we've had in a dozen years, and I'm not kidding. The speaker, H.B. Charles Jr., is out of Florida. He is a seminary professor and also just a very wonderful man of God who just fed us with the word. And it is a delight when a pastor gets to binge eat on the word of God. Trust me. You know, when you're always feeding other people, It's like mom on Mother's Day, right? When you take mom out to eat after she's done all that cooking for all that time, you know, and treating her. That's how I felt. I felt very treated and rewarded and refreshed of the Lord. So thank you for praying. We want to introduce to you the first of our bracelets and the power of four. What does that mean? Anybody remember? Chirp. Yep, makes a significant difference. Being in the Word of God four times a week or more will make significant differences in your life and heart. And does anybody remember what the Acts 17:30 stands for? Being a Berean, right? And did I just do that right? No, if you're a Berean, you know that it's not accept. Just look at the bracelet. What is the reference for Berean? 17:11, not 30. Okay, come on. I'm telling you, I'm going to be testing you guys. I'm going to find out if you're good Bereans or not. I'm going to say some things that might not be, well, not not theologically, doctrinally incorrect, but I'm going to make a few mistakes, and I'm counting on you guys to catch those things because you're good Bereans, right? You go into the Word of God, you study the Word of God to see if it's so. And so we want you to do that. And I also want to make you aware, because of what we just came through, in the future, we will try to have plans for an alternative service when weather gets as bad as it did these last 2 weeks. If we were going to have bad weather this week, we were planning on doing a Saturday evening service. So if this repeats itself sometime in the future, we just want you to be aware of that. All right? Of some really wonderful thank yous I want to pass on to you. First of all, this is from one of our missionaries. This last fall was just full of opportunities to share the gospel and to see children come to Christ. With an open heart of understanding, thank you for your part in supporting me financially and through prayer. And that's Lori Seltzer with CEF Ministries. Here's another big thank you. Dear pastor, elders, and church family, I feel so blessed to have you all in our lives, especially at the turbulent life we've had for so long. Sometimes I can relate to Job. God allows suffering for a reason and beyond understanding, yet our Lord demonstrates his willing and unceasing power and control over all things, including our trials. Still, we maintain faith and trust in God's sovereignty and wisdom. His loving grace he gives us every day. I am grateful and thankful for all so much that you do for us, encouraging us, helping us, walking with us, with the love of God in your hearts. I know, Job 19:25, that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on this earth. Blessings to you all with a grateful heart. This is Joanne, Jess, Crystal, and Lizzie. Now, if you know, last Friday, it was Friday or Saturday, Jesse, after all these months with Lizzie in the hospital, Lizzie got home, and Jess fell on the ice, broke her leg. She had to go to the Quakertown Hospital, was there for emergency surgery. And now she's at the rehab up near the promenade at Good Shepherd. So just continue. Also, Joanne's workplace, just let them know that she's finished at the end of June. Her job is ending. They got bought out by another hospital. And so the doctor's practice is letting everybody go. So, well, I don't know all the circumstances, but it's been a really difficult. And during these next 2 weeks, while Jess is in rehab, she is full-time caring for Lizzie. So she can't even work. So just continue to keep loved ones like Joanne in your prayers. And this is also another thank you. Dear friends, thank you for all your prayers on my behalf. It has been a long year, but praise God, and all the surgeries are finally finished, and the staghorn kidney stones are gone. Now the healing process from all of this can begin. Thank you for the lovely blanket you made for me. It's so soft and warm. I'm really enjoying it because we have a blanket ministry. Thank you for your time in making it and your time to pray. I am so blessed. May God continue to bless your ministry and use you for his glory with thanks. And that's Mitzi. That's the Kranz's, Paul's mom, the kid's grandmother. So again, just all these wonderful thanks. All these wonderful thanks. And one last thing, if you would give us a quick update.
Out on the bulletin board, the smaller one between the cleaning closet and the men's bathroom is a new sign up for fellowship. Kind of gets overlooked sometimes in some ways, but it really is a ministry. I appreciate Pastor giving me the chance to make this like a ministry minute type of thing, because, you know, what is it? Matthew 18, you know, where two or three are gathered, there he is. After a great morning of worship, being in there, 80 some people gathered together, what a wonderful blessing and things like that. So we decided to switch to a more once a month format for sign up. So the entire year is up there. Doesn't have to be anything crazy elaborate. We've had groups, small groups work together on in the past. We've had individuals, we've had different things, but whatever we could do to get that sign up sheet filled up would be a really great thing. It's just another powerful tool to continue the ministry that we have on a Sunday morning. And you can sign up by yourself, with a group. You can come talk to me if you want to pair up with some people. We're also just taking donations for like cookies and packs of things to have out the other weeks. And, you know, maybe if we can like every, I don't know, two or three Sundays we fill up, then I'll sign up for another Sunday personally to do fellowship. So maybe that's a little motivation.
Yeah,
so
a little motivation.
So come on. So
if
it's just a really powerful
Zach's
thing.
Cooking,
yeah, yeah. So it's again, it's another ministry of the church. It's just, it's incredible to see everyone in there after on a Sunday just talking and fellowshipping and continuing what we have here from Pastor in the morning. So let's see if we can get that filled up, guys. I'd really appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's stand. We're going to begin with our invocation and prayer, and this is congregational, so read along with us. This is taken from Hebrews 9:28. Let's read together. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time from sin for salvation. And here's the prayer. Let's say it. Father, thank you for Christ who shed his blood for the ransom of all our sins. We come to remember his sacrifice and love for us today. Amen. Let's worship.
We're experiencing technical difficulties. Hold on. Tim, you want me to unplug and plug in again? Yes, no? You know what? I think we have to say it again. It's good to be home. Isn't it good to be home? Yeah, wonderful. Well, here we go, folks. Let's praise our Lord together. A great God.
Hear the roar.
Father God, I praise you, and I do want to thank you. The Word of God tells us, blessed be the name of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1. Why? To the praise of his glorious grace. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of how faithful you are. How great thou art. How great thou art. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is our rescuer. And just like we see Isaiah's words, though, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How befitting a communion day for us to be reminded of the cleansing blood of Christ, to be able to prepare our hearts, to be in fellowship together, as when Jesus said those words, in, which are recorded by Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, that when you come together and you take this bread and eat of it and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So, Father, we want to show out of our lives the show and tell of Jesus is alive, real, in active faith, and that he is the love of our lives, and we have, as our church verse, our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so, Father, as we come today, we want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to pray for the many that are from our church family that have had surgeries and broken bones and falling down and things through the ice and so many different health things. And when we look around the room, we see some faces missing because of those incidents. We pray for Robin. We pray for Janice. We pray that you'd be with John Ray. Pray for John Rimmer. Thank you that he is home from the rehab. But Lord, along with those, we continue to pray for those that have cancer. And we pray, Lord, that you would also be working in their hearts and lives as we've been praying for their needs. Father, we want to thank you for our missionaries. I want to hold up before you the Marks family with their work in Thailand. And thank you so much for working around the world. But I also want to pray for Crossroads Pregnancy Ministries because of Sanctity of Life Sunday, which took place last week. We want to tip our hats and our hearts and our prayers in that direction. We thank you for the country we live in, but we pray, Lord, for families and children and the preservation of life because it's so important and so important that we uphold that which is true in a world that keeps trashing and throwing away what is truth. Father, I praise you and thank you that we are here today. And I want to pray for Pastor Brent over at Springfield this week. And we want to lift him up in his church ministry. I know that he had a fall this last week that ended up bruising some ribs and things like that. And I want to pray for his mom, Pauline, who was moved to Saucon Valley Care. And Lord, we just want to lift up all these needs. But thank you so much, Lord, for our community. And thank you so much that we're not in competition, but we are complementing that the gospel go out and reach every heart and every life along that 611 corridor and in our community. So, Father, we praise you today for being here. We thank you. We love you. And we ask that you would bless us and be with us and fill us, grow us deeper into the word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and all God's people said. Amen. Children are dismissed for Children's Church. And again, many of you recognize the baby bottle ministry. And also, I'm going to complain. Forgive me, Lord. We're supposed to be thankful in everything, but you know this change that they're trying to get rid of currency and coins and stuff like that. I love my pennies. I do. I love when you get change back and you throw that into that little ashtray in your car and you forget about that and then you're in need and all of a sudden you clean that thing out and you got $10 in there. Well, see, you can clean that thing out and put that $10 in here. And this will go to Crossroads Pregnancy Ministry, and many of you are familiar with the routine. We can take these home and fill these. If you don't have change, you can scan code in here. And also, please feel free to take these as long as they last. These are bookmarkers, and they also have scan codes. You can scan code now and give online if that's your way of giving. And So I just want to remind us of that. And I want to take a moment and I want to honor Sanctity of Life by showing you this video that Crossroads put out for us.
You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Every person crafted in the image of our Creator. From the unborn baby forming in the secret place to the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, all are fearfully and wonderfully made. Her life has value and is created with a purpose, and her unborn baby is worthy of life. Our days were ordained before one of them came to be. Spend each day thankful for the life you have been given. Life is precious, today and always.
So thank you, and I'd like you to keep remembering them in prayer. If you didn't see out on the walk-in, I have the last 3 weeks of Partners in Prayer that we've missed. The one was sent out, the Whiter Than So was sent out last week as a devotional, but the one before that is also out there, and then today, again, reminders of living for the Lord and prayer and keeping our church in prayer, being a church of prayer, not just a church of praise, right? The flyers have come from Hebrews. Our Hebrews study is going to start again next week, and we're going to be picking that up next week. But this week, I have a joy to introduce to you my friend Isaac. Isaac and his wife are on our prayer sheet on the back. We're praying for their little girl who should be in a week.
Two.
2 weeks.
We don't know.
We don't know, right? We don't know. So we're going to be praying for them. Isaac is, I've gotten to know him. He attended through invite our pastor's prayer meetings that I meet once a month. And then we got to know each other and talked a little bit more. And then I invited him to our New Jersey prayer group. Isaac is with Go Ministries. I'll let him share with you. The reason why I asked him to be here is so that I could get through the week without having a sermon made, so that I could just have a wonderful time to relax along with you coming back from that wonderful Keswick conference. So Isaac's going to share with us this morning, and we'll look forward to having him speak with us. And then after he's finished, we're going to have more song and our communion time. So come on, Isaac.
Good morning, everyone. All righty. Let me see if I can, a little bit taller, so. But we look the same. We look good, right? With the shirt is, yeah, great minds think alike. But yeah, good morning, everyone. My name's Isaac, and that's my wife, Julianne, like Pastor Corbin said. And I just, we're just so grateful to be here. We're so thrilled and been talking about how we can come and just share about what the Lord's doing in our lives. And just a little bit about us before we get into the quick devotional that I want to share with you guys that's been on my heart. Julianne and I were married in 2021. We both are Lancaster Bible College graduates. We actually lived in Quakertown for the first 3 years of our marriage. We were attending Grace Bible of Quakertown. And then the Lord took us to New Jersey, where my wife is, where she grew up. We're living in Middlesex County. For the first 2 years of when we were living there from 2024 till now, we were taking care of her grandfather, who was 103. So we've been caring for him, and now he's in a full-time care facility, but the Lord really granted us 2 years of great ministry with him and just being able to care in that way. Again, Corbin said that, told you guys that we are expecting our first baby girl, our first child, and so we are really excited for that, so we really would appreciate your prayers as we get to that moment. But before we get into the devotional, we're going to actually be in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 11. So is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 11. Why don't we just open up in a quick prayer, and then we'll dive into that scripture. Father, this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. And Father, we're just so grateful for the opportunity to be together. I know that things like the weather have kept us apart. And Father, I love that, that welcome home. I love that. And Father, I just pray that this time wouldn't be wasted in any way, that it would just be glorifying to you. I pray that you give me the words to say, that they would be of you, not of myself. And Father, I pray for those listening that they'd be receptive to your words and also to the information of our ministry and what you've entrusted us with. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, so we're in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 11, and I'll read that. I really want to hone in on verses 6 and 7, but I'll read 1 through 11 for you. Verse 1, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." May the Lord bless the reading and application of his word. And this passage reminds us of who really does the work of ministry, right? And who really deserves the credit. You know, the a little context here. The church in Corinth was divided, and some people were saying, "I follow Apollos," and I follow Paul, and others said, "I follow Apollos." That's like me saying, "Oh, well, I follow Pastor Corbin because he baptized me," or "I follow John Piper because he baptized me," right? But really, I mean, they were picking favorites. I mean, they were acting like it was about personalities, but, you know, and that it wasn't about Jesus, but it's all about Christ. That's the whole point. So Paul corrects them, and he basically says, "Guys, we're just servants. We're just servants in the ministry. We're not the point. God is the point." As I was reading through this, an illustration kept coming to my head about a garden, right? One person plants seeds, and another waters them. And someone else pulls weeds, but none of them can actually make the plant grow. You can't yell at a seed and say, "Grow faster." You can't force life into it. Growth is something only God can give. And like, see, for example, like, I'm from Lancaster County originally. You know, farmers, they work hard. They work very hard. But God brings the life. Ministry is the same way. Yeah, but here's the problem, though. We forget this. I forget this. We like the credit. We like the recognition. We like feeling important. And sometimes we think, "I led that person to Christ," or "I built this ministry," or "I grew this church." Or on the other side, we feel discouraged, like nothing's happening, so I must be failing. Both pride and discouragement come from the same mistake, thinking the results depend on us. But Paul says very clearly, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. That's humbling, right? We are not the source of life. Christ is. And this points us straight to Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is the true Savior. Jesus is the one who changes the hearts. Jesus is the one who brings dead souls to life. Amen? We don't save anyone. We don't transform anyone. Only Christ does. We're just tools in the Redeemer's hands. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but only Jesus gives life. So the glory belongs to him, not to us. That actually frees us, right? Because now it's not about performing, it's about being faithful. So what does this mean for us? I mean, the three simple things that we can get from this passage is that, first, we must be faithful. We plant the seed, we share the gospel, we serve others. And second, we must be humble. We don't take the credit when the things grow. And third, we must trust the Lord with the results. Our job is obedience, and growth is His job. And some of you might feel like, I don't see fruit. Keep watering. Some of you may see fruit. Stay humble. Either way, God gives the growth. And honestly, this verse really shapes how I think about my own ministry as we're transitioning here to just tell you about Mission Go and my job as a missionary mobilizer and what we do. And, you know, I can't force the results of what I'm about to tell you. I can't make someone surrender to God's call. I can't manufacture fruit. All I can do is plant seeds, water, encourage, and equip, and then trust God to grow what only He can grow, right? So let me share for a few minutes about what God is allowing us to plant and water through Mission Go. And before I get into what I do as a mobilizer, it might be helpful for you guys to know who Mission Go is and what they do, right? So a Mission Go is actually, they're originally as a global outreach mission. That's what they've been known as, but we've recently changed to Mission Go. We've been around for about 80 years. We have two home offices, one in Buffalo, New York, and one in St. Catharines, Canada. And we have hundreds of missionaries in over 55 countries all around the world, and they're all doing something different. So really, we don't really have a specific ministry, that a focus that we do of like, we only do Bible translation or we only do church planning or this. It's really all over the place, because our desire is for the local church to come to us with their missionaries and say, our missionaries are gifted in this, and they want to go to this specific people group and do this. And that's how we see missionaries serving best, when they're allowed to do what God's called them to do, where God's called them to do it, and how God's called them to do it. That's our desire, is really to partner. And we don't care if it's sports ministry, Bible translation, businesses, missions, all these different tools, right, that we have. As long as the gospel is the focus and the center of it, as long as we're sharing about Jesus Christ, that's the whole point, right? So we have missionaries all over the world doing that. And how do I fit into that, right, as a mobilizer? What is that? How does that apply? Well, my job is to go to different Christian colleges and universities around the United States and talk to students about missions and how they can get involved. Because there is, I'll tell you, Gen Z, they are willing to do the hard things. They are ready. They're willing. They're able. They just don't know how to get there. They don't know how to get from A to Z. And that's where I step in, right, because I've been trained by our organization to be able to say, hey, go find the people that are excited and that have that call in their life to go to those hard places and go translate the scriptures and go plant churches. But when you get them through the door, now you got to walk with them and get them all the way from raising their support to getting training on what people group they're going to go serve with, and then getting on the plane and actually getting there, right? So that's a big part of my job. And a lot of the practical way of how I do that is through things like going to missions conferences. This past week, I was at Caron University in Langhorne for their missions conference for it should have been 5 days, but I got canceled on Monday and Tuesday because of the weather. And so we were there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we spoke in over 30-something classes, ranging from business to theology to science classes. And these are people, I mean, missions is changing. The way that you can get into some of these closed access countries like North Korea or Afghanistan or Iraq or some of these places, if you have a skill. So I'm going to try to talk to some of the students that want to be doctors, some of the students that want to be business people. It's just, if you love sports and you want to do soccer camps over in the Middle East, we have people that do that. So there are so many different opportunities and missions. I really do believe that someone can tell me what their major is and I can tell them how they can use it in the mission field. I really believe that. So that's one aspect of my job, is going to missions conferences. Another aspect of my job is that I'm allowed to go to and lead missions trips. The Lord has allowed me to, and Julianne, we led a missions trip to Costa Rica in 2023. And we were able to do a sports camp there. For soccer, we both played soccer at Lancaster Bible College. She was much better than I was. She actually started every game. I start on the bench every game. But But yeah, so we went to go work with a local church in Costa Rica, do a soccer camp, and then in 2024 I was able to go to Recife, Brazil, and take the LBC men's soccer team and do a sports camp down there. These are some of the ways. I mean, you don't know how many missionaries around the world that have devoted their whole lives to becoming missionaries because of a short-term trip that they went on, right? And it's less, the short-term mission trip is less about what you're going to go do for these people. It's about what the Lord's going to do in your life when you go there. There are so many people that the whole life, their trajectories of their lives have completely changed because they went on a one-week mission trip. And that's what one story I want to hone in on is a young man named Sam. And he went on the Costa Rica trip with us. He was a student from Lancaster Bible College. He went to the Costa Rica trip, and then he went to the Brazil trip with me. And he was thinking about, he was the guy that was like, I'm just here to play soccer, get a degree, maybe be in business, make as much money as I can. After he went on that Brazil trip, he said, Isaac, the Lord's got a hold of me. I just want to serve him. And now he's working with FCA in Maryland, raised his full support, and he's just serving the Lord through sports and working with children in high school or students in high school. And it's just a blessing to see the Lord just completely do a 180 in his life. And that's some of the immediate fruit that has been exciting to see, right? And some of these things, you pour in, you sow, and you sow, and you sow so that others can reap. And you don't realize, you know, I might not be able to see some of the fruit in my ministry for the next 10, 15 years, and that's okay. But the Lord sometimes, you know, gives a little wink, right? And he's like, look at what I'm doing through the ministry that I've entrusted you with. Look at how I'm being glorified in this, right? And that's been really exciting to see. One of the other things that we have recently started at Mission Go is an internship called the MMI internship, which is a mission mobilization internship. And it's a program on each campus where we have, I'm a mobilizer, but we have student mobilizers on their campus that love missions. And they're like, hey, I can't go right now, but I want to get the rest of my student body excited about missions. And they're kind of our on-campus person. That's a program that I'm leading, and I'm able to work with these interns, really pour into them. And there's two guys that I really meet with each week and just disciple them. So that's a great program. And there's a lot of other ways that that I could go into later after the service if you want to talk about that. But I have 1 minute left, so I just want to quickly transition here. Our current needs. We have a booth out there, the Mission Go booth, if you saw it coming in. Would you pray for us? Would you be able to go at the end and grab a prayer card just to be able to keep us in your mind and pray for us weekly or monthly? That would be a really huge, huge help for our ministry and personally as well. And also, we raise support for our ministry. I would just ask you guys to, would you be willing to test us? And if you find us faithful, considering supporting us monthly in the ministry that the Lord's entrusted us with, because it is a very, very time-intensive ministry working with college students, and I just pray that we would get more workers for the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, right? So I pray that the Lord would bring more laborers for the harvest. So how you guys can respond, again, if you guys can, grab a prayer card so that you can be praying for us. That's the most important thing. And if you'd like, we send out an e-newsletter, if you would be interested in getting on that to be able to get more up-to-date prayers. That happen, you know, usually once a month that I send out. And if you're interested in hearing more about the ministry, please talk to me after the service. So thank you again very much, guys, for having us. And thank you, Pastor Corbin, for allowing us to be here to present the ministry that the Lord's entrusted us with. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Isaac, for sharing. We appreciate it. Would you please stand and let's just prepare our hearts for communion.
Break bread together on our knees, Lord, on our knees.
I just want to invite you for a few moments to open your Bibles to Psalm 116 as we prepare our hearts for communion. Did you remember to say it this morning? The words that are so important, the words that cannot be left unsaid. Did you say, I love you? Don't say them now to try to make up for the fact that you didn't say them. Whether you said it to a loved one, or whether you said it to a friend, or whether you said it to a relative, did you say it to the Lord? If you look at Psalm 116, I want you to see the opening words, and I'm reading from the New King James, and I just was so struck by these words as we were coming into communion time that I had to look at them. I love the Lord because, let me stop. I love the Lord because, think about that a minute. Why do you love the Lord? What are the becauses that might have went through your mind this morning? I woke up breathing, Lord. I love you for that. I love you, Lord, for a chance for another day to serve you. I love you, Lord, for the opportunity to go to church on Sunday today and it's not snowing outside. I love you, Lord, even though I'm not sure what to think or do today, but I know I can't be without your love. I love you, Lord, even though there are frustrating people around me. I love you, Lord, even though my circumstances aren't especially good. I love you, Lord, even though I have more questions than I do answers for things in my heart and life. I love you, Lord, even though I'm unable to make things right for others, let alone myself. I love you, Lord, that I need your help and your strength, and especially your wisdom. I love you, Lord, for the chance to be obedient and show others how much I love you and wanting to do things correctly and live rightly. I love you, Lord, even though I have inner torments or needs that I have to confess to you. I believe you are who you say you are, Lord. I believe I am who you say that I am, Lord. I believe you will do what you say you will do, Lord. Most of all, I believe you're changing me and transforming me. I believe your word, and I believe the Spirit of God is alive and active in me. I believe in God. You remember D.L. Moody years ago was asked, what is the most profound theological belief that you've ever taught or preached on or studied in the Word of God? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So as we come to communion this morning, I want you to take that phrase, I love the Lord because. Let me just point out a few things that the psalm says we can thank the Lord because. Verse 1, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. I love the Lord because he answers our prayer and he hears us when we pray to him. Look at the second one in verse 2. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. Because he keeps turning his ear towards us when we call and when we need him. I love the Lord because when I'm interrupted or troubled, he is there to hear me. Look at verse 3. The pains of death surround me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. I love the Lord because verse 5, he is gracious to us. Gracious is the Lord and righteous and his righteousness. Yes, our God is merciful. I love the Lord because he takes a bunch of mess that I am always making and he forgives me. Look at verse 6. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. I love the Lord because he knows that when I'm going through trials, anxieties, fears, and doubts, that he is able to help me through. Look at verse 7. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Have you stopped a moment before we have this communion time, and are you thanking the Lord for a bounty he gave you this week? Or are you just doing life without him? Going to the store, making the phone calls, going to work, doing this, doing that. You're just not thinking about him. You're prayerless. I love the Lord even though he continues to think of me. Look at verse 8 again, talking about our salvation. For you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Boy, that was a good one for this week. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. Oh, well, that was a good one this week too. Look at verse 12. I thank the Lord because it's impossible for me to publicly show others that I love him sometimes. Look at verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation. That's a reference to Passover. That's a reference for us biblically, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to communion. The cup of salvation. We do this in remembrance of him. We're reminded for what he did. I remember when I was in college, I had a friend who said to me, you know, I have lost, I've heard and done church so much that I've lost the tears when I think of Christ dying for me. Is that you? I love the Lord because I am precious in his sight. Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, yes. But look at verse 16. Oh, Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. He gets us through the difficulties. He releases us. I will, look at verse 17. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 18. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people in the court of the Lord, the Lord's house in the midst of Jerusalem. How do I love you, Lord? Listen, here's the bottom line of it all. Our trust in him and our love for him really is about all that he does for me and not what you are doing for him. Do you hear that? All that our trust and our love for him really is about all what he does for us and not the other way around. So that's why we're here this morning. That's why we're here for communion. I'm going to ask our deacons and our elders to join me. We're going to take the bread at this time. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are more than welcome to join us as we take this time of communion bread. The Bible tells us that we do this in remembrance of him. Father, thank you so much for your love and your mercies and your grace. Thank you that we have this bread because you loved us first. Father, help us to come and proclaim our love to you in our heart of hearts, even as we take this bread in the few moments that we are just contemplating before we take the bread and put it in our mouth, that reminds us that you died to take care of all of our sin and forgive us of all our sins. So, Father, maybe we need some moments this morning where you could bring some tears to our eyes because of what you've done for us and how much you loved us. Jesus loves me, this I know is a good song, but Jesus knows me, this I love is even better. Amen. Go ahead, gentlemen. Have you ever heard the phrase, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Back in 1800s, Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote those words to her husband, actually, as a sonnet. It's called Sonnet 43. It's very well known and very profound. If you actually get a copy or Google a copy of the sonnet, it's very beautiful, very descriptive description of the ways, it's not just the words, I love you, but it's the ways that her and her husband have shared love. When we take this communion, it is the same. We are seeing God's love for us, his care for us. And we need to spend these moments counting the ways that we love him, not with empty words, but with truth. So as you take this bread, let your heart be filled with his love. May you be able to say in your heart, I love you because, and then take this bread. Our trust and our love for Christ is about all that he does for us and not the other way around. I love the story of an elderly couple as they were traveling along in their old Ford pickup truck. They had been married for years, and he was the kind of guy that was very phlegmatic. He wasn't very verbal. He'd often say to her, when I told you at the altar that I love you, I meant it. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. I don't know if you can live with that kind of love or not. Maybe you do. It's difficult to live under those circumstances. One day she was haranguing him. You don't ever do anything for me. You don't show me you love me anymore. You used to date me. You used to get me flowers. Why, you'd pick the flowers right out of the lawn coming up to the front door. You remember those days? Why don't you do that anymore? Why, we used to sit together in the truck. He turned to her and said, I'm not the one who moved. Think about it. We do that to the Lord sometimes. We get into circumstances in our lives. We go through hardships, trials, fears, anxieties, difficulties in our lives, and we start to complain to the Lord that he must not love us because we are going through hardship. Listen, loved ones, that is not true. We're the ones moving away from him. He never takes his promise of love from us. We need to remember that this morning as we take the cup. Father, we do thank you so much that this cup reminds us of your death for us and your dying on the cross. We thank you so much that it reminds us so much of your blood that was shed and the great rescue that indeed we need. So, Father, as we remember those words, I love you, Lord, because may we remember as we take the cup, that we're the ones that keep moving. So, Father, if in our hearts we have moved away from you, would you help us to turn ourselves back around with our words, with our speech, with our actions, with our hearts, with our meanings, and help us to lean into you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gentlemen, go ahead. Thank you. H.B. Charles Jr. actually was the one who's, I'm going to give credit to this next story. He talked about a little boy coming into the old-fashioned turn-of-the-century penny candy shop with his mother, and the store owner knew that the boy was poor and didn't have money to even buy the penny candy. I you know, personally, I miss those gumball machines that used to be 10 cents and 5 cents. I think, last time I saw one was at the Cooper's Diner, the Coop over there. It was the last time I've seen one of those. They used to be everywhere. You used to be able to put your 25 cents, coins, nickels, or dimes, and get those gumballs or those little treats. I just loved that day gone by. Well, this boy was so poor that he couldn't do it, and the store owner, knowing they were poor, would always say to the boy, son, just reach in and grab a whole handful of that candy. Take it home. He would go, I'm not going to do it. No. Well, son, let me ask him, does he have permission to, he asked the mother. And mother said, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead, Johnny. Reach in there and grab. No, I'm not going to do it. And it just got pretty hot. He would constantly go through this practice. Every time they would come in, he would refuse to reach in. The store owner got so frustrated, he would reach over, he'd grab a handful, put it in that bag, and give it to the boy, and the boy would go out to smile. Well, one day at home, mom says to the little boy, why do you do that to the candy man? Why do you do that? Why do you keep saying no when you have permission? You are allowed to have the candy. Well, mom, you don't understand. Look how little my hand is. His hand is much bigger. Do you get it? When we come to God, His hand of grace and blessing is much bigger. Sometimes when we come in prayer to our Lord and Savior, we're just asking for a handful of blessings and goodness and forgiveness, and we use our hand. But isn't the Father's greater? Isn't the Father's better than ours? Amen. Let's remember this. When He died, this cup represents His blood shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of Him. You know, the Bible tells us that we continue to do this remembrance as brothers and sisters in Christ until the day that we're with Him in glory. Perhaps this week He'll come. Amen? Amen. We're gonna ask the praise team to come up. We're going to close our service in song, and also a reminder that this is when we do our elders offering. So I'm going to ask the gentleman that as we're singing our closing hymn, if you want to contribute to the elders offering, to go ahead and do that. Let's sing.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is Lord. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine, heir of salvation, righteous of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story.
thank you for this time to gather together. We rejoice in you. May you bless us as we go. Continue to keep your spirit upon us. Help our hearts to be always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.